Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
This year, our vision at Christian Ministries Church is creating a place. We're in Hot Springs at our leadership conference, our ministries retreat that we do every January here a couple weeks ago. We had 50 people from this church who went down to get trained to find out what we can do to do ministry the way God has asked us to. And so we sat under some teaching. But there was a time during that, and for the 50 that were there, you remember this time, they had 18 different churches represented. And our church, they put a place in the auditorium for their sanctuary for every church to go and spend time together, praying and taking communion. So our church got together and we stood back there and did that. And it was a sweet time in the Lord. And the Lord spoke to us through tongues and the interpretation of tongues while we were in this group. And here's what He said. The word of the Lord, creating a place. He said, creating is different than making. To make a place means to move everything out of the way. Shoving everything already there out of the way is to make a place. To create a place means to create something new that was not there before. 2020 is a time to create something new. I will do something new. Create a place for me, and I will create a place for you. Thus saith the Lord. Now, I just want you to know, there wasn't a doubt in my mind that that was God that had a message directly for our church. There's not a doubt, because I've talked to Him about it time and time, and I've been praying about, during the month of January, how I can share this vision in a way that will inspire, motivate, and encourage people to see that this is the real deal. God wants to do a work in your life. And I have taken that responsibility serious, but know this, it doesn't land on my shoulders because I've taken it serious. Now, it's something that we have to take serious as a church. And we have to be serious about the things of God. So I want to just talk just a little bit about this morning. My message title is Creating versus Making. Creating. You got to hear this. Creating, or to create, means to bring something into existence. Wasn't there before, but you're bringing it into existence. Making is producing something with what you already have, or putting parts together and constructing something. But there is a difference between creating and making. And our vision this year is creating a place. And we have to understand, as we dig a little deeper into these topics, I want to use what I got, because I'm just as practical as, I just want to be practical. That's just how I'm kind of wired. I mean, I want to rearrange stuff and make better use of what I got. My mama and my whole family fights being hoarders. We fight it. My mom just went like this. We do. And she just sent me a message the other day, and she goes, "You're not a hoarder if your stuff is cool." But here's what we tend to do. We clean out a drawer, and we don't take anything out of it. We leave everything. We just rearrange. We clean out cabinets, and we just rearrange. We just move this over here and move this over here, and now it's back to order, and we can put more stuff in there. Move things to the side a little. In the natural, story after story after story that Michelle and I have about how we needed to rearrange, we needed to fix some things, we needed to take what God had given us, and we needed to make it better. I'm not here to preach a message against making. I just want to make sure we get the difference. It's not about making this year, it's about creating. And so, you got to know that when you create something, you're doing that out of something that you never had. Well, Pastor, can you explain this? See, God didn't have what was needed for man to live. So what'd he do? He created. God did something he had never done before so that he could have something he'd never had before. At least Chapman thinks that. God did something he had never done before so he could have something he never had before. I could stop right there and you could go home and just meditate that, but because I'm a preacher, I want to talk more about it for a while. What did he do? He did something he'd never done before. He created a place for us so he could have a relationship with us. He had never had that, so he created something so he could have something. He created something so he could have something. He desired a relationship with us. You and I, we're sitting here today, maybe today, and I don't know how you feel in your blank, an area of your life you're empty in, an area of your life you're hurting in. You're looking at how you're going to stay married one more day. You're trying to figure out what purpose you have here in this life. Maybe you're trying to find some peace and your home just don't have any peace. One thing after another just continues to bombard you. Maybe you're in need of a physical healing. Maybe you just got a wonderful blessing and you're praying you can figure out how to keep it. Maybe you're just bored and I'm tired of the same old, same old. I don't know what it is, but today's message, if you'll take it, is for you. One of the things I want to encourage you with today, create something instead of just trying to make something. Quit trying to just make room, create. Now we're going to, Pastor, what do you mean? God created a place to have something he did not have before. He created something new that was not there before. If you go to Genesis 1, the whole story's there. And I've been preaching about it, and I've been talking about it, and if you want to know more about that, go back and listen to the message of the vision for this year, and I'm not going to go back and teach all that. We as a church have been moving in this. Now, maybe as we move forward into 2020, we've got to try to do something we've never done before. What is that? I'm not saying, and please don't take this and go the wrong way with it. I'm not talking about throwing wisdom out the door. But I'm talking about creating something you've never had. Maybe it is your marriage. Maybe it is peace in your home. Maybe it is purpose. Maybe you're in need physically. See, pushing things aside and making room is not the vision. Creating something new that you've never done before, to get something you've never had before, you got to create a place for some things to be new. There's got to be some new coming into your life that you never had before. So you creating a place, you can have something new. Isaiah 43 verse 15, I love what it talks about here. Verse 15 of Isaiah 43, I'm going to read that this morning. It says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. Verse 16, I am the Lord, who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. Can you imagine having been there and seeing God draw them in? I mean, Moses had a little bit in the process, but for the most part, it was just God. Now, here's the deal. Without Moses being obedient, doing what he did, God drew, but he used man to do it. Think about that. He had a part in this whole thing. Verse 18, as cool as that whole story is, God says, but forget all that. Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, for I am about to do something new. I love that verse. I'm going to do something new. How about you? How about you? Can you say, Pastor, I'm getting ready to do something new? Well, no, I just don't know what new I'm getting ready to do. Well, what I can tell you is you've got to find out the area that you're in need of, or you can just put a little slash there and say, or that you're desiring. See, God places desires in our heart. Are you desiring a good marriage? Then God's going to do something new with you. You've got to do your part so you can get something you've never had before. Maybe it's not in your marriage. Maybe it's in your health. Praying about health, praying about what I need to do new, and you keep eating the way you're eating. See, you just go right down the list. God, I'm believing you for, but you're not doing your part. You've got to be a part of the creative process. What is the new you're going to do? I want to give you a spiritual example of something I saw several years ago. And I just, in my prayer time this week, I could not get this story out. I don't know if you've ever just been praying and you're trying to make sense of something in your own mind and God just downloads a story. That's what he did. Several years ago, and I believe there were some of you that were with me. Alan, you were with me up there, and there may have been more. But we went to Honduras. And we always go, and we don't want to do anything but work the whole time we're there. But he kind of piqued some of the men's interest in this group because we all enjoyed motorcycles. And Alvin, our missionary to Honduras, he really enjoys motorcycles. And he said, I'm going to put together a bunch of motorcycles, and the last day you're here before you get on the plane, we're going to take a motorcycle ride up into the mountains. We're going to have a good time. So he got all these motorcycles together, and most of the Hondurans are way smaller than me. But I still got on one, and I rode this thing, and we're going over the mountains, and we're just... That was some of the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen. We were having a good time. The motorcycles were still running at this point. We get up to the top of the mountain, and we see this church, and it's beautiful. I mean, we've been all over the city of Tegucigalpa, Honduras, and we've enjoyed looking at what's going on down there and seeing the need for God in this city. And we get up on top of this mountain, and I'm thinking, this has arrived, man. This is beautiful. And then we drive by a church that's up on top of this mountain. And there's 10 guys out there around this church, and they're all standing out there with machetes. Now, that would freak you out, but you saw what they were doing. They were chopping grass, and they were cutting the grass around the church. And so we stopped because Alvin knew the pastor there, and so he stopped and introduced us to the pastor, and they were doing a good job knocking down all this grass. And the pastor was so thrilled to meet some of us, and we were talking, and he gave us a tour around the church. They had an outside pavilion and just some places that they did ministry, and he was telling us all about it and the people they would minister to up there. And it reminded me a lot of this area. I mean, just the beauty that it was, the rolling hills, but we were up on a mountain. And so we're up there, and they had been mowing the grass with machetes. Here's the part of the story that I still can't get out of my head. He takes us around, we start looking at things, and he opens this door to a shed. This is our shed, and sitting right there behind the door was the most beautiful push mower you've ever seen. And a full 5-gallon container of fuel. And I looked and I said, this doesn't even look like it'd been used. What's the deal here? Why is this just sitting here? That makes no sense to me at all why you would just leave. Why don't you use that is what I said. And he said, you ever tried to mow something like that with something like this? Because the grass was tall. And yes, I have. If you've ever tried to mow tall grass with a small mower, it just bogs down and it's useless in no time. He said it's just easier to get a bunch of guys out here every couple of months with machetes and just mow it down by hand. And I thought, well, why do you have that? And he said, someone bought it for us and thought it would make life easier. And I thought, and that somebody was right. What are you thinking? And so it's never been used, and it's sitting there, and I've thought about this story time and time again. It still didn't make sense to me. And I believe that God showed me something in this story. How many Christians are right there? How many pastors are right there? They have machetes, and they've always done it that way. When to me, I understand the first time maybe knocking it down, but after you get it knocked down, that mower would work. And you could mow this thing down, and you wouldn't have to get 10 men out there every 2 months. And when you drive up, it wouldn't look like a freshly mowed hay field. It would look like a manicured yard around the church. I didn't get that. And see, but I thought of Christians' lives. And see, the life is your life and my life, and it surrounds the church. And what is sad to me is as Christians, they know they should surround themselves with the church. They know they should be embracing the church. And they know that their lives should be manicured enough that when people, come on, when people look at their life, they see something that makes the church look good. I'm not here to put the pastor down there. They just always done it that way. And they had something new available for them right there, but they just always done it that way. Just always done it. That's just the way we've always done it. And see, what God is, we've got Christians' lives that are full of weeds. They're grown up everywhere. Probably ought to come to church today, get some weeds knocked down. Things kind of getting a little out of hand. In fact, if I get there, I know there'll be 8 or 10 people that'll help me. See, they'll help me knock this thing down. We'll get it done. We'll get this yard knocked down, and we get these weeds back under control. And then we go out. We're not a part of what God's doing for another 6 to 8 months until the weeds grow all back up. Oh, I need to get back there. Come on, I've seen this happen time and time again in the lives of Christian people. And here's the sad part. If we just get the new out and weekly start working on a manicured life, our yards wouldn't be so hard to handle. It's really frustrating for me when I miss mowing before the grass gets too high that when I mow, I'm going to have clumps everywhere. Come on, any men here? There's a part of the season you're like, I'm praying for drought. This yard's just hard to keep up with. I used to put fertilizer on it. That's not smart if you don't like mowing. But you want it to look good, you tend it. Come on, you want your life to look good, you got to tend it. We got to quit letting the weeds grow up. Here's the problem. When the weeds get up, the stalks at the base, even when you knock them down with the machete, they're so thick it still is uncomfortable to walk on. I don't want anybody walking on me. That's why I let weeds grow up. I don't want my life being responsible. We got to start getting, are you hearing this today? God unfolded that whole picture for me. And he said, today I want to do something new, just like that lawnmower could do for the life of the yard of the church. There's a lawnmower sitting in a shed for you and for your life. I'm not here to throw anybody under the bus. I just want your life to look good. Why? For the kingdom of God. We're telling our young people all the time, come on, get your life looking good. Get your life looking good. When we go out and our CMA, one of our teams goes somewhere, well, I don't want to put on an act. No, I want you to be the real deal, and I want them to see a life that looks manicured, and that will appreciate that there's something going on in Southwest Missouri. I'm not trying to get people from West Plains to move here. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to impact the kingdom of God. And that ought to be our heart's desire as his people. Now, what areas of life do we need to be creating in that we haven't created in before? What new are we looking for? 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him. Come on, I'm talking to a church full of Christians. We got everything we needed because we come to know Jesus. When you came to know Jesus, we got everything needed. By the one who called us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. We need to be creating something in our marriage and in our home and in our lives. Maybe something you've never tried before, so we get something maybe we've never had before. So we're going to try something we've never tried before so we can have something we've never had before. There's just some things that may need to quit being shoved aside and need to be gotten rid of. That computer's got to go. That TV needs to go. Now, I'm not here preaching against TV because I like TV. But when that TV becomes more important than the things of God, maybe that TV's got to go. Maybe you've created a place where the TV's your center focus and God has quit being. What is the center focus of your life? Get your direction from the Lord. But here's the thing. I'm not talking about making a place. I'm talking about creating a place. Here's the key. God wanted a relationship with us naturally. So he created the natural. God wanted us in the natural to honor him. He created the natural. And then he told us our job is to maintain the natural, to take care of, to keep the natural, to do what I've asked you to do in the natural. However, if we never in our relationship with God believe him for the supernatural, we start getting caught up on just the natural. And that's all we think about. See, we never experience what God gave us in the supernatural, and we're in need of creating a place. And what we're doing is we're wanting the supernatural to work in our life. Come on, we're believing God for a miracle. We're believing God for his move in this area. We're believing God that I can stay married. We're believing God that I can have peace in my home. We're believing God for something physically in our healing. I don't know what it is, but you're believing God. And what we're doing is we're believing him for the supernatural, but we're not tending and keeping the natural. There's a tending and keeping of the natural that is our responsibility. Moses did not watch, he watched God. Moses did not cause the sea to part. I bet he probably hadn't even thought that was an option. That was the supernatural, and he just asked him to take a rod or a staff or a stick, whatever you want to call it, and do one little bitty thing with it. Are you willing to do the one little thing so God can do the really big thing? But he's wanting to get up with you. He's wanting to, and we're not willing to set up in the natural, creating a place for him to move supernaturally. Hebrews 6:9. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. I love this verse. It's just the second part of verse 9 in Hebrews 6. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. There are so many things that come with salvation that God's people never, ever experience. There are so many things that come with helping you keep a manicured life that come because you're saved. Somebody donated a lawnmower that's sitting in a shed, and it's there and available, but we're going to use machetes only. See, there's so much available for your life, but we're not getting a hold of those things because we're not willing to create a place for those things to manifest. And we've got to do our part. God loves us. God loves us. Many people think salvation is the last supernatural work that God will do in someone's life. Salvation is not the last supernatural work that God does in someone's life. It's the start of a bunch of supernatural works. It's not the last one. But the Christian person is living like, I just got saved so I could get my fire insurance or get my ticket to heaven. But it's the first supernatural work of many that we're going to do. And we believe God that he's super. I mean, think about this. Well, I have a problem with tongues. I have a problem with this. I have a problem with prophecy. I have a problem with, and all these things that God said are gifts to the church. I just don't know if I believe that. You believed a supernatural work for God to save you and take you to heaven. Yes. Come on. Come on. That's supernatural. So we've got people believing the supernatural for salvation, but we don't have a time where we're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't have a time where we can believe him for healing for us or someone else. We're not going to make time to pray for someone who's in need when we're in the grocery store because someone might see us. We're not going to pray for someone at work that said they're in need. Will you be praying for me? And we could pray right then, but we're not going to do it. Yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you feel bad because you forgot to pray for them when you were supposed to. Come on, I'm not here to attack. I'm just saying this is what we all deal with. And there's got to be a place where we put ourselves in a position to know God loves us and he created a place because of his love for us. And then he says, love God and love people. How much are you creating a place to love people like he created a place to love you? See, in your life, we are just the busiest people ever. And God loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And I think we get so busy that we leave him out of the picture. I know I've been guilty. And I know if we were all honest, we'd probably say, yeah, I have too. We've all been guilty of getting too busy, but he loves us. And I think about some of the greatest joys that I have in life is to be able to give a gift and then watch the recipient enjoy the gift. I love that. In fact, as a grandpa, I'm really liking it. I've started working on figuring out what they want and then a way to get it into their hands without making mom and dad frustrated. And I practiced before they got here on my wife, and I had all the failures with her of getting her something she didn't want. Me trying to convince her she did want it. That don't work either. So my girls have helped me out, and every year when it comes time for a gift to be given, they send me pictures and different ideas of things that I need help with. And so I've done better. And then I listen to things my wife says. I've had plenty of failures here now, I'm just telling you. One year she wanted these ducks to go on a shelf. I don't know why anybody would want ducks on a shelf, but she did. So I heard that. She wanted one duck. That wasn't clarified to me. So I gave Brooke, who worked at Silver Dollar City, just as much money as I could at the time and said, buy every duck you can. And we wrapped every one of them we could. We had a whole shelf full of ducks if we wanted to. If one's good, 20's better. See, I've been learning I'm just so excited to watch her open them. And every one, she goes, the excitement went. But near as good as it started. But as a grandparent, I love giving a gift to my granddaughters and then watching them play with it. I just love that. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like if their parents wanted to keep the gift looking new, established rules, and prevented them from having fun with the gift I gave them. It'd break my heart. In fact, I'd just take it back to my house. See, I think it would be even more devastating if the girls, my granddaughters, completely ignored the gift and set it at the bottom of their play box and never even wanted anything to do with it. And as horrific as these images are in my own mind with my granddaughters, many of us are treating God's gifts the same way. A relationship with him has to be more than just a relationship to get you to heaven. And that's how it starts. But we're waiting for the weeds to get too high, and then we're coming back and saying, God, I need some help. God's people going to help, and God's people do, and God helps. Grateful for that. But how cool would it be if we'd start creating a place in every area of our lives that the yard stays manicured, that the life stays manicured? See, you can only do that through a correct relationship with him, using the gifts he gave and he watching in enjoyment you enjoy those gifts. Today, create versus make. We are so busy trying to get the natural in order, we're missing the enjoyment of the relationship and the connection that comes with the Lord and the supernatural that's available. I thought of a Bible story, and most of you know it, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus and the disciples, they continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. And Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me." You ever told God what he needed to do? Didn't work for her either. The Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it. It won't be taken away from her." Peace does not have to be taken away from you. Your marriage does not have to be taken away from you. There's only one thing worth your attention. And if we've got it on all the details and we miss the detail of our attention on the Lord, we've missed it. We've got to discover our time with Jesus. Maybe for some of you it's again, and maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's for the first time. And I can't just say this is Sunday at church. We've got to create a place for him in the process. In the process of receiving what we have and what we're working for. This year as a church, I personally am working on finding the areas of need, the areas of desire, and then creating a place, a new place. A new place. As pastor, I want you to know I strive for the new place for God to do what he said he was going to do. I'm telling you, the splitting of the waters, that had to be awesome, but he said, forget about that. I'm going to do something. See, we're living on something that happened 5 years ago, 2 years ago, and God has something new for tomorrow. And if we're not creating a place for that new, we're going to get caught up on what we didn't do or what we did experience at one time. And what I'm telling you is this church is moving, and we're moving because we serve a moving God. Now, know this, he is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. I'm not saying he's changed, but his methods and motives and different things in life, come on, we didn't have internet to use for the glory of God several years ago. Now we do. We have the opportunity to do things with travel we've never been able to do before. For the glory of God, every area of our life, here's the problem. If you're not careful, the natural gets all your attention, and then you start trying to move everything and make room instead of creating a place in every area for God to be honored. Learning how to do my part to create a place for God to move. Something I've never done before. How can you first grow your relationship with the Lord if you just get saved and then live like you're not? Prayer life. Shelby, will you come up just at the piano? I just feel led to do this for a moment. We've had a time of prayer, and we've had a time for God to move. Would you just play? In your prayer life. Praying at Sunday with your family, that's awesome. I'm not saying to quit doing what's working well. But and I'm not in one of your prayer circles and nobody's told me anything. But Dad, it's time for you to pray. Your family's in disarray. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. We're just so busy. Husband, maybe grab your wife's hand and say, "Let's go to the altar. Let's go spend some time with the Lord." How is your prayer life at home? When you go out and eat, are you the one that stands up and say, "Hey, let's honor God and just pray before we eat this food"? Praying for someone at church, at school, at work, maybe just in Walmart. Are we creating a place for God to move when someone needs prayer and the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray? Reserving time in your day to pray uninterrupted. Shut that phone off. God needs some attention. He wants some attention. We need to give that attention to him. Maybe praying in tongues. You know what? I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit years ago, but I don't daily speak in tongues. You need to speak in tongues every day. Well, why would I need to do that? Because of the power that it brings into your life. It's exciting. See, the Holy Spirit is going to intercede and speak things you didn't even know need spoke. Let's do something new. Well, I've never spoken in tongues before. You can. But it's not about the speaking in tongues. It's about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's just the evidence part. But in doing that, you just reconnect. You keep it connected. You just keep it there. Maybe praying with God. I don't know, but come on, prayer's got to be a part of our lives. Bible time. Download an app and start listening. Come on, we're in a new phase of life. YouVersion is amazing. Listen to maybe a sermon a week. There's a bunch of podcasts out there. You can get them. Maybe it's an area of service. You've never served in the church before. It's time. It's time. Let's get some service started for the kingdom of God. We're always in need at every church, everywhere, for serving people. Well, I don't want to work with people. They don't want to work with you. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. We need to be serving. We're letting people dictate whether or not we're going to be obedient to the commands of God. Maybe it's your commitment to church. Well, I got to work. We've got a game. We got this. We got practice. Start praying that God would open a door for it to allow you to be here. I've seen this time and time again. I don't know how I'm going to get to church. And then they started praying. I've got testimony after testimony. Looking at one right on the second row, he'd been praying for that for 8 or 10 years. And now I just watched that happen all the time. God just opened a door. Because he stayed steadfast and believed that God was going to open that door. I don't know what to tell you, but God's the need meter. And whatever you're in need of, he has a brand new shiny lawnmower. He's just waiting for you to use it. Will you stand with me this morning?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.